Things, there's one thing I always do. I stop and say a thank you, Lord, for a very special you. For you're someone who'll forever be a dear and precious part of the warm and treasured memories I hold within my heart. Thanks for all your prayers, food, and help when I needed them the most. Love you all. Beverly. You are more than welcome, sister. I also have a card. Last week, you may remember, we took up a love offering for Amanda Suddeth, who was a young lady that was struggling with some addictions and is in treatment center. And I want you to know that we provided all but 74 cents of what she needed. You better believe that's right, man. That was just awesome. Anyway, I had the honor and privilege of delivering that. Already received a card. Your thoughtfulness means so much, more than words can ever say. Love, Amanda. And then also the Discovery Outreach, where she is, sent just a brief note. I'd like to share that. Brother Bill, please allow us to show our appreciation to you and your congregation by making ourselves available for anything the church may need. We will be happy to give back in any way. We would be happy to come clean the church or the property or to speak. Whatever you can come up with, just let us know. With great gratitude and love, Peggy Clark. They're serious and they appreciate what you did, what God did through you. I thank you for your obedience. It made a pastor proud. Can I tell you that? And I thank you very much for that. Also, at Whitehead Baptist Church, there'll be a youth revival. Brother Philip Eady, and many of you know Brother Philip, he'll be preaching a youth revival Wednesday night at 7 o'clock on the 24th. So, be keeping that in mind as well. Y'all ready? Man, oh man, I am. Tyler, your message this morning. How am I to respond to God? How are we to respond to God? As you know, over the past few weeks, we've heard the Apostle Paul dividing the gospel into three basic themes. He divided it into a knowledge of sin, an understanding of sin, an understanding of what God did about that sin, and also today we'll be discovering a theme called sanctification, the process of becoming more like Jesus, in other words. But Paul helped us to understand what sin really is. And sin, in a nutshell, is disobeying God. When you boil sin away, it always has to do with disobeying God. And we know that all have sinned. How many? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But that does not take away from the fact that sin has consequences. For the wages of sin is death. But we also learned that God's love prompted him to do something about our sin problem when we couldn't do anything about it. He gave us this wonderful gift of mercy, for the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's right. We found last week that if we indeed accept this precious gift from the hand of God, this gift of God's mercy, no one can ever oppose us. No one can accuse us. No one can condemn us. No one can separate us. No one can conquer us. And no one can dissuade us from the love of God that comes to us in Christ Jesus our Lord. Question is, now what? So now what? I want to share a little story about a little girl who wore this bright, shiny cross around her neck. And a man approached her and said, "Little girl, don't you know that the cross that Jesus died on was nothing like that beautiful one you're wearing around your neck?" And that little girl said, "Yeah, I know. But they told me this in Sunday school. They said, whatever Jesus touches, he also changes." Whatever Jesus touches, he also changes. You see, friends, there is a significant difference between becoming a Christian and being a Christian. Amen? Big difference. Being a Christian involves us responding. Being a Christian involves us changing. But how? How am I to change? How am I to respond to God sharing his son with me? How am I to respond to God not giving me what I deserved? am I to respond to God giving me that I did not deserve? How am I to respond in light of God's mercy and God's grace? I'm going to give you the answer right here at the beginning of the sermon. You ready for that? Are you ready for that? Are you ready for that? Here's how you respond to the grace of God that's been given to you through Jesus Christ. By living a dedicated life as a spiritual Christian. The rest of your message this morning is going to tell you what that means. Dedicating your life as a spiritual Christian. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. And beginning in verse 1, the Word of God says, from the Apostle Paul to the church at Rome, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let us pray. Father, I have the confidence that I can speak for every single brother and sister in Christ that's in this building. That because of the most precious and awesome gift of grace and mercy through Jesus that you've given us, Lord, we desire to respond to you by dedicating our lives as spiritual Christians. Lord, help us to know what that means today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, rather than expounding on these verses in chapter 12 like I normally do, I want to show you three benefits that will come to you if you allow God to change you in this way. If you will allow Him to change you where you have this desire to live a dedicated life as a spiritual Christian. You've heard John 10:10, where the Bible says, I have come, or Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Now, every single one of us wants that. We want life and we want to have life more abundantly. But before you can claim the promise of Jesus in that verse, you got to know who the they is. You got to know who the they is that's going to have life and have life more abundantly. For you see, the Bible describes three basic people in this world. The first person is a natural person who is absolutely lost and spiritually dead. He is dead at the very core of his being, and he is primarily influenced by Satan and by the world. And until such time as he confesses that Jesus is Lord and believes in his heart that God raised him from the dead, then he has no hope and he has no abundant life. The majority of the world's population are what we refer to as natural men. Now, the second type person is a carnal Christian. A carnal Christian is saved by faith, spiritually alive, but not yet totally yielded to God. And therefore, Satan in the world still has a major impact on his or her life. The Spirit of God has come in, but the Spirit of God can't get out because this carnal Christian continues to live a disobedient life, continues to grieve and quench the Spirit of God within him. Now, there's a third type of person. And this is going to be our focus this morning. The spiritual Christian who is saved by faith, spiritually alive, totally yielded to God, and energized by the Spirit of God. This is the Christian who yields to God and who allows him or herself to be used as a channel of God to bless other people. How many of you know that it's not all about you? Let me rephrase that. How many of you know that it's not all about you? Friends, this spiritual Christian is the one who's promised this abundant life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now let's get real. Which one are you?
I can't answer the question. I can tell you what you show, but I can't answer the question for you. You know, throughout my life, I've enjoyed a fruit-flavored candy called Nowerlaters. Anybody else like Nowerlaters or just me? I love Nowerlaters. And I was thinking about Nowerlaters and I said, you know, that's exactly how a lot of Christians view their lives. Nowerlater. I can either live an abundant life now in the world or later in heaven. But just yesterday, I was looking at an hour later, actually on the internet, because I didn't have any. But I was looking at an hour laters, and I learned that ain't what they're called. They're not now or laters. They're now and laters. It changed my whole way of thinking. It dawned on me that Christians can live an abundant life now and later. Amen. How many of you know that that's what Christ wants for you? To give you an abundant life now and later. Amen. Friends, y'all need to hold on to them. Amen?
I didn't mean to get that close. Sorry, Miss Brenda.
Anyway.
It was drawn to you. Sorry.
Anyway, let's take a look at these benefits. These benefits of living a dedicated life as a spiritual Christian. A spiritual Christian. First of all, as a spiritual Christian living a dedicated life, you will enjoy a fellowship with God that's different from any other. The spiritual Christian has this ongoing, day after day, moment by moment fellowship that differs from anything you've ever seen or heard of before. Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. And let's check out this fellowship that's different from anything you've ever seen before. And look up at me when you're there. That's close enough. All right, verse 14 of chapter 3 in Ephesians. Paul writes, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, length, depth, and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." To know the love of Christ. "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or imagine, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." During the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln joined with several ministers for a prayer breakfast. And one of the ministers pointed out in the meeting and said, "Mr. President, let us pray that God is on our side." And Lincoln responded by saying, "No, gentlemen, let us pray that we are on God's side." The truth is this: you are as close to God as you choose to be. You are as close to God as you choose to be. Fellowship with God is a choice. It's not an accident. You choose whether or not, as Ephesians says there in verse 14, you choose whether or not you will bow your knees to the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ in worship. You choose whether you will bow your knees in prayer. You choose whether you will bow your knees in service. You choose whether you will bow your knees in submission to His will. That's your choice. Fellowship is your choice. But not only must fellowship with God be a choice, To get it, you must intentionally seek after it. Intentionally seek after it. You, as verse 16 says, you must intentionally be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. You must intentionally be rooted and grounded in love, verse 17. You must intentionally be filled with all the fullness of God, verse 19. You have to intentionally seek after those things. Now, what do you really want from God? Do you really want to be close to God? Do you really want to be near to God or not? That's your choice. Do you want to be nearer to God more than anything else in your world? It's your choice. And if you do want to be nearer to God than anything else in your life, what's it worth to you? Is it worth placing Jesus Christ on the throne of your life? Is it worth kicking out Satan? Kicking out sin? Kicking out self? And placing the Savior on the throne of your life? Is it worth dying to self every day? Every day? Jesus said, if you want to come after me, you must deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. Now, what happens on a cross? Somebody dies. If you're going to pick up your cross every day, that means you need to do what? You need to die every day. That's your cross. Dying to self. And Jesus says that a close fellowship with God requires that we die to self daily. As Brother Chad said in our Sunday school class, so that you can put first things first. Is fellowship with God worth trusting Christ, trusting that Christ is in you every single moment? Let's look at verse 17 again. Is it worth trusting that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith every moment? Is your desire to be near to God worth all that? Friends, I got to tell you that when you get serious, when you get real about your relationship with God, when you want it more than you want anything else, God promises that He will not disappoint you. You will not be disappointed. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Who's the they? Those who are dedicated to living as a spiritual Christian. Now, the second benefit to this dedicated life as a spiritual Christian is that you will experience a new kind of victory over those sins that ensnare us. Anybody here got any sin that ensnares you? Don't you get righteous on me. I got my hand up. Let's go. Got any sins that ensnare you? Mm-hmm. One mother overheard her 6-year-old son giving a theology lesson to her 5-year-old daughter. He said, you see, it was Jesus' job to die for our sins. It's our job to sin. Kids. That's why they're over there, amen? But hey, before we laugh, it's kind of sad because that's how a lot of adults think too. They won't say it, but they live like that. That's the way they think. They say things like, well, everybody sins. They say things like, I can't help it, I'm only human. Ever heard that? They say things like, well, I inherited my sinful nature from Adam and Eve. They get like real biblical on you. And while those things are true, you need to know that the Bible also promises, the Bible also gives us power power over these sins that ensnare us. So once again, we're faced with a choice. Turn the page over there in Ephesians to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17, where Paul writes, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk like the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their minds, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the," insert Brother Bill word, "abundant life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you, friends, have not so learned in Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, that old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in your mind, in the spirit of your mind, that you will put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." Living this dedicated life of a spiritual Christian gives you a lot of power. It gives you power to let go of the old ways, to put off the sins of the old man, to put off the sins of the old woman. See, the Bible teaches that everything, say everything, everything connected with the old way of living has got to go. How much of it? Everything. Everything's got to go. Everything about the old man is rotten through and through. You got to get rid of it. But living the dedicated life of a spiritual Christian also gives us the power to change the way we think, to renew our minds. And we do have to let God change our way of thinking. Let him change the way we think and allow him to transform us, so that we may prove to other people what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, that they too might come to Jesus. Change the way you think. But living this dedicated life of a spiritual Christian also gives us the power to put on the character of Christ. To put on the new man created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Brothers and sisters, when you are dedicated to this new life of a spiritual Christian, you will enjoy a fellowship with God that's like none other. And you will also experience a new kind of victory from the sins that ensnare you. But finally, dedicating your life as a spiritual Christian, you'll share in the glory of heaven. Right here, right now. Now and later. Amen? Anybody want one? Miss Brenda? not a very good target. How do I bring glory to God? How will I bring glory to God right here, right now? You'll bring glory to God by worshiping like you are this morning, both in spirit and in truth. Psalm 95, a beautiful psalm of worship, in verse 6 says, "Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. He is our God. We are His people, and He is our caregiver." Wow. Right here. Right now, and it'll be glorious worship. Worship that's motivated by love. Worship that's motivated by thanksgiving and joy. You'll be a happy worshiper, amen? And your love will not be motivated by duty. You won't come here because it's Sunday and you think you got to be here. You'll come here because you love God and you're joyful Christian and you want to experience the closeness of your brothers and sisters in Christ. But you'll also bring glory to God by loving other believers. John chapter 13 says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another." Do you think he's serious?
Do you get the hint? He wants you to love one another.
When we were born again into the family of God, you became part of God's family. But being a part of the family is just so much more than just belonging. It's so much more than that. It also includes learning to love your brothers and sisters in Christ. But you can also bring glory to God by becoming like Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, you don't have to turn there, but the word says, but we all, talking to church people, talking to Christians, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being, say being. We in the process, okay? We are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. We can keep on going, amen. Just as by the Spirit of the Lord. We are being transformed, becoming like Christ. That's spiritual maturity. That's living a dedicated life as a spiritual Christian. But you're going to also bring glory to God by serving other people. How many of you know it ain't all about you? Amen? Y'all get that? It ain't all about you. It's about other people too. And you've got gifts. Gifts that have come from the hand of God to you for other people. How many of you know that the way that you're wired, and some of you are more wired than others, but the way that you're wired ain't an accident. Y'all looking at me crazy. The way that you're wired is not an accident. God did that. I know. He did that for a purpose. He didn't give you your abilities and your little quirks. Now, some of you got some pretty weird ones. He didn't give you those little quirks and those special idiosyncrasies and those special gifts for selfish purposes. He didn't give those to you for you. He gave those to you to benefit others. He gave those to you to honor the one who gave them to you. To serve others with the gifts you've been given. And you'll bring glory to God when you do that. But you'll also bring glory to God by telling other people about Jesus. Now that's what our whole GPS and Grow Outreach Ministry is about. Telling other people about Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4:15 says, all this is for your benefit, so that the grace of God is reaching more and more people to overflow thanksgiving to the glory of God. Reaching more and more people that will bring glory to God. God doesn't want His love. God doesn't want His salvation. God doesn't want His glory kept a secret. Once you know the truth, now you become responsible to share it with other people. And friends, that's why we're going to be so busy in March. Hold up your sermon outline. Let's see it. I'll make sure everybody got one. All right. We're going to be busy in March. We're going to be busy in March. Amen? But not for you, for them. For them. For Him. You see, we believe that the Lord is serious when He says, go out into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. We take that seriously. And we're going to begin with our little community right here at Bethel. And like Winston Churchill said at the beginning of World War II, I don't know about you, but all I have to offer is blood, sweat, toil, and tears. It's that important. Friends, there ain't no doubt about it. We've taken on a task of enormous proportions. This is big. We have before us at least 4 or 5 long weeks of hard work and dedication. What's our plan? We're waging war. We're waging war with prayer. We're waging war. In spite of all fear, we're waging war against our comfort zone. We're waging war against our busy schedules. We're waging war against our own laziness. We're waging war. And we're going to achieve victory no matter how long or how hard this road may be. Because you know why? Without victory in this war, somebody will needlessly die without Jesus. And you don't want that on your worst enemy. It's going to be a hard war, but it's going to be a sweet, sweet victory. Now, there are two actions that you got to take to achieve this victory. You got to surrender. Surrender yourself to the war and get this idea out of your brain. I'm doing everything I can. Got to be completely sold out to Him. And the second action we have to take to achieve victory is belief. We got to trust God to do this. All we're going to do is just make ourselves available. We're going to trust Him completely to do for these folks what we can only tell them about. But every home's going to get prayed for. Every home is going to receive a beautiful gospel presentation. Every home is going to receive an invitation to join us for our Easter services. And we're trusting God for the harvest. All we got to do is make ourselves available to do what He's called us to do. And we're going to do that. You know, unlike animals, human beings aren't locked into a prescribed type of behavior. In general, animals can only act according to their nature. But human beings can act any way they choose. You can do this if you choose. You can participate in this if you choose. You can have an impact on that person out there if you choose. But when a human being does choose to focus on becoming a spiritual Christian and being obedient to God, when he daily chooses to dedicate himself to the cause of Christ, God promises a fellowship with him like none other. He promises victory over the sins that ensnare you, and he promises a share of the glory of heaven right here, right now. Don't know about you, I want some of that. Amen. So I want you to be praying about your role in GPS. Pray about March. Pray about doing what God wants you to do. And I'm going to be praying that God's going to clear all of y'all's schedules. Amen. Friend, you may be here and don't have a clue what I'm talking about. You may be one of the ones that we're trying to reach. Why? Because you don't know that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried in a grave, and 3 days later rose from the grave. But at this portion of our service, we want to give you an opportunity to nail that down, to place your trust and your belief in the only way that the Father has allowed us to come into His heaven. And that's through faith in Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father in heaven, there is not a single thing that we can do to save someone. Lord, all we can do is tell them what you've done already. Lord, if there is one, just one, that doesn't know the saving grace and mercy that you offer through your Son Jesus, Lord, we pray that you would make that known to him or her right now. And Lord, that in Jesus' name, Lord, you'd give them the courage
to step up, step out, step forward, and allow me to show them what the Word of God says about their eternal dwelling place in heaven. Not what I say or what a church says or what a denomination says, but what the Word of God says. And Lord, I pray that you would complete your work in that person's life and save their everlasting soul. Lord, I also pray if there's one that would like to join this fellowship and get on board with God's plan for sharing and be involved in reaching our community and just be loved on and nurtured and be discipled, Father, I pray that you'd bring that person. Father, I pray if there's a person that would like to just declare it publicly that they belong to Jesus by baptism, I pray that you'd give them the courage to come forward. Lord, if there's someone who might need to recommit their lives to the cause of Christ, Father, I pray whatever business they have to do with the Creator of eternity, Father, they'd speak to you now. And Lord, you'd bless them and direct them. Lord, we love you. And we thank you that you've already showed your love for us. And that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so we lift this prayer in his precious and holy name. And all God's people said, amen.
Let's all stand. Let's sing.
Sweetly, Lord, we have heard thee calling, come follow me. And we see where thy footprints falling lead us to thee. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus wherever they go. Though they lead o'er the cold, dark mountain sea, so Noam's fountain helping the weak. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus wherever they go. Then at last when on high he sees us, our steps of Jesus in at his throne. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus wherever they go.
Amen. I pray you'll follow him wherever he goes. Amen. That he'll lead us into the right place, okay? I thank you for being here this morning. It's been good to be in God's house. Was it just me?